Lord. Amen. Amen. Thank God. All right, I want to turn your attention to the book of Ruth. In the word of the Lord today, at the men's retreat, somebody said, what was Boaz known as before he met Ruth? The answer is, he was ruthless. Yeah, very sad joke, very sad. Ruth chapter 3. Ruth chapter 3, verse 11. Boaz is making his acquaintance with Ruth, and it's quite a story. Only four chapters, but redemption, romance, a good ending. And a good ending that opens the door for more to come in the will of the Lord. And thank God that there could be happy endings. Amen. That the outcomes can be positive and powerful. And doesn't have to be in dismay and pain and difficulty. But here, there's a recognition by Boaz concerning Ruth. Ruth 3 and 11. And now, my daughter, fear not. I will do to thee all that thou requirest. And now notice this part. For all the city of my people doth know that thou art a virtuous woman. She hadn't been there very long. She didn't grow up there. They didn't have a chance to see her develop qualities of virtue and honor and respect and all of those sorts of things. Her time there was very short, but in that time, they recognized this woman, even though she's a Moabite, is a virtuous woman. And I thank God that in our church today, there are virtuous women who determine they're going to live right. They're going to serve God. They're going to be a blessing. Praise God. You can be seated. God bless you. The story in the book of Ruth starts out with Naomi and her husband Elimelech leaving Judah because there was a famine. They left Bethlehem with their two sons, and they went to Moab, of all places, because there was plenty there. And as they made their home and settled in that country, their sons grew up and got married. One married Orpah, the other married Ruth. And for 10 years, they lived there with things going well and the situation being profitable and positive until the hand of death stepped in and brought great changes to their family. I don't know the order of the death, but Elimelech passed away, Mahlon and Chilion passed away, and now there are three widows who are there: Naomi, Orpah, and Ruth. Naomi decides that she's going to return to Bethlehem. She doesn't see any future for her there in Moab, and no doubt she longs for what her Hebrew people would stand for. And I thank the Lord that Naomi stood for her faith, her heritage, her walk with God. And one of the daughters-in-law recognized that. They both, of course, decided that they wanted to go with Naomi and return or go to Bethlehem as she returned there. But Naomi told them, you need to stay here in your homeland. And even if I had more sons for you to marry, it's unlikely that you would be able to wait for them in the length of time that it would take for them to grow and become the age of marriage. And so, weeping in departure, Orpah turned back. But Ruth kept on. She would not turn around. She would not go back. She would not consider any other course of action but to go with Naomi. And her commitment is spoken in chapter 1, verse 16. And it's a model of commitment. It's a pattern that I think should be followed by many today in their service to the Lord. Ruth said, entreat me not to leave you or to return from following after thee. For whither thou goest, I will go, and where thou lodgest, I will lodge. Thy people shall be my people, and thy God my God. Where thou diest, will I die, and there will I be buried. The Lord do so to me, and more also, if aught but death part thee and me. That's quite a commitment. That's one that could be followed, one that can be emulated, one that can be repeated. Because that kind of commitment is lacking today, by and large, in society. Commitment to jobs, commitment to friends, commitment to spouse, commitment to family, commitment to the Lord. It's lacking. But thank God there are those still who will stand up to be counted and say, this is how I fight my battle. I'm going to keep going. I'm going to keep going on. Amen. Amen. And thank the Lord, the power of God is there. So Ruth not only spoke the words, but she followed through with her actions. Because we know actions speak louder than words. And she wanted both to fulfill or show her commitment. And so now two widows make their way to Bethlehem. What were their prospects? What was their future? What were they anticipating? What was going to happen? Well, we know the rest of the book of Ruth tells the story. But at this point, when they turned towards Bethlehem and they made their journey, I think there were a lot of questions, way more questions than answers. I think there was a lot of sorrow. Well, Naomi has bitterness within her, because of the losses, because of the wrong, the problems that she had. But she's looking ahead and trusting that God is going to work on their behalf. Boaz lived in the city. Boaz was a wealthy man. Not only was he a wealthy man, but he was a kinsman of Naomi's husband. And by Jewish law and Hebrew tradition, he had the option of redeeming the property of Elimelech and being able to purchase it and thereby having Ruth become part of his life as well. To start with, however, he allowed Ruth to glean in his fields. It was harvest time, and she gathered corn and barley and wheat. And that was not delivered to her doorstep. There wasn't a dash that could come all of a sudden and here it is, sign the receipt, it'll go on your account, everything will be squared up. No, she would arise early in the morning, she would make her way to the fields of Boaz, and she would begin to work. And it was hard work, as you can imagine. The machinery was not available to her. The gleanings had to be done by hand and then carried back to their dwelling or to the mill where the flour would be made and so on. That hard work did not go unnoticed. It was others who recognized that young lady from Moab that came with Naomi. She sure works hard. She's sure faithful. She doesn't slack off. She doesn't just flirt with the other workers. She doesn't just waste time chatting and seeing what is going on throughout our town of Bethlehem. They recognized her hard work. And Boaz learned of her reputation and gave her a great compliment, as we read in the text. All the city of my people doth know that thou art a virtuous woman. How long did that take? All of the harvest, all of the time that she spent in the fields gleaning. And then, of course, the hand of Boaz was generous, and he said, leave some extra on purpose. Leave some for her and the other ladies who are working in our field. Don't restrain them. Don't forbid them. And that was the kind of heart that Boaz had. And when it came time for the redemption to take place, when it came time for Ruth to be wed to Boaz, there were those who gave witness and said, all the people that were in the gate and the elders declared, we are witnesses. The Lord make the woman that is come into thine house like Rachel and like Leah, which two did build the house of Israel, and do thou worthily in Ephratah, and be famous in Bethlehem. And of course, we know Bethlehem is famous for another reason, because they were able to look at the word of God in Micah 5 and 2 and recognize that's where the Messiah will be born. That's where the King, the Savior, is going to be born. Praise God. And thank the Lord, Boaz and Ruth gave birth to Obed, and his son was named Jesse. And Jesse's son was named David. Praise God. The hand of God that was displayed because of a virtuous woman. Ruth was the great-grandmother to King David. And not only in that relationship, and not being a Hebrew. Remember, she's from Moab. She's a Moabite. But she is in the lineage of Christ, if you read in the book of Matthew. Thank God for the hand of the Lord that's able to work a change, that's able to work a powerful promise because of someone who chooses to follow after the Lord, chooses to do so with a commitment that is unending and is not going to change. I'm thankful that the hand of God is upon virtuous men and women today and the blessing of the Lord that is there. Peter was in a village called Lydda, and Aeneas was one who had been lame for 8 years. And they'd no doubt prayed for him. They'd no doubt looked for the hand of God to be displayed upon him. And Peter prayed for him, and he was raised up. Praise God. In Joppa, a neighboring town, a certain disciple named Tabitha, which by interpretation is called Dorcas. This woman was full of good works and alms deeds, which she did. And how long that went on, we're not certain. But it was long enough for everybody again to recognize, here's a virtuous woman. Here's a woman who works hard. Here's a woman who is committed. And she's busy with her hands. She produces good works and alms deeds. But Tabitha became sick, and she died. We know death is going to be a part of our life at some point, and that's going to happen. It is going to take place. But Peter was summoned by two men who journeyed to Lydda to let him know that this situation had developed. And so he returned to Joppa with them, and the widows gathered around and showed him the coats and the garments that she had made. And they declared how hard she worked, how industrious she was, and what an honorable woman Tabitha was and the virtue that she displayed. But Peter, knowing the situation, put them all out and kneeled down and prayed. And he turned to the body of Tabitha. It's been a day or so now, and she's still. She's cold. She's not moving. But Peter simply said, Tabitha, arise. That's pretty amazing to me. Pretty incredible. I feel sometimes like I've got to pray an eloquent prayer. I've got to have, mention of all the different aspects of deity and power and blessing and so on. But Peter just looked at that still body and said, "Tabitha, arise." Wow. She opened her eyes. She saw Peter. She sat up. And he gave her his hand and lifted her up. And when he had called the saints and widows, presented her alive. Praise God. Imagine that. They walked out of that room trying to dry their tears and maybe a look over their shoulder. Peter, what are you going to do? What are you going to say? What's going to happen? What's going to take place? And then here she comes walking out of that room. I'm thankful for the hand of the Lord to be able to do a great work. I'm sure the whole city of Joppa knew about the resurrection, if not her works before she passed away. A recognition of all that she did, and a recognition that her reputation was established and strong for all of her good works and alms deeds. But now they recognized as well, she's alive. She was dead, but now she's alive. Praise God. Known throughout all Joppa, and many believed in the Lord. Oh, thank God that we know He is the God of resurrection. He is the God of life. He is the God of power. Hallelujah. And godly women today can rise up to declare God's glory and to show their virtuous works and to let people know you don't have to follow the crowd. You don't have to go the way that society proclaims. You don't have to be molded by the media and this is how you live and how you look. Oh no, thank God there can be virtuous women who step forward and say, "I'm serving the Lord God. I'm following the one who is eternal. I'm going to go into the dwelling place that He has for me, and I'm going to follow His direction and His plan." Praise God. Now notice where Peter is. He's in Joppa. What happens in Joppa? Peter goes to the rooftop to pray at the same time that Cornelius is calling upon the Lord, and an angel appeared to him. Thank God. Oh, the hand of the Lord is moving and working. I don't think there are accidents in the plan of God. I don't think it was just a coincidence that Peter ended up in Joppa to pray for Tabitha. No, God was working. God was moving. God was doing a work. Praise God. I'm thankful for the hand of the Lord to be displayed and how God is able to put things together. Let's jump to Acts 16 and recognize a woman named Lydia. Paul and Silas have traveled to Philippi, and they meet Lydia, who is having prayer down by the river. She is an industrious woman, a hard worker, a seller of purple from Thyatira. And her hands are busy. She's doing a work to provide for herself and her family. She worshiped God and she prayed and she had an open heart. Oh, an open heart is so important to be able to receive more from what God would desire to impart. Praise God. Her open heart caused her to listen to the Apostle Paul preach. And he preached about Jesus Christ. He preached about the power of God. He preached about the outpouring of the Spirit of the Lord. And Lydia, because she was a virtuous woman, because she desired the things of God in her life, followed that word and was baptized in the wonderful name of Jesus Christ, along with all of her household. Thank God that there can be influence of a godly woman, influence of a virtuous woman who not only impacts herself, but influences others as well. And so Lydia invited Paul and Silas, the preachers of Pentecost, to stay at her house. Amen. The city, however, was influenced likewise by a young girl who was a fortune teller. And she followed Paul and Silas along, declaring what their mission was. No, nothing wrong with what she declared. Nothing wrong with what she said, but it was the association that was wrong. You've got to be on guard against so many things. Amen. That's not to live in fear. That's not to live in a shell and feel like that can be cracked at any time. Oh, no. Thank God for the power of the Lord that provides strength for us and blesses us. But it was a situation that Paul became very tired of and recognized, I can't be associated with that spirit. I can't go along with that. So in the name of Jesus Christ, he cast out that spirit. Amen. Now, that upset the people who were benefiting from the ability of that girl to tell others' fortunes because they gave money. They charged a certain amount to be able to have their fortune told and so on. And because that source of income was done away, Paul and Silas were blamed. And because they were blamed, they were beaten. And then they were thrown into a prison, their feet made fast in the stocks. And that had to be very uncomfortable. That had to be a situation that was not a blessing, in a sense. But did that stop Paul and Silas from praying? Did it stop them from worshiping? Did it stop them from praising the Lord? At midnight, they began to praise the Lord. No doubt their discomfort did not allow them to sleep. No doubt their feet made fast in the stocks kept them awake. And so they decided, well, we're awake. Let's go ahead and praise the Lord. Let's go ahead and worship the Lord. And as they prayed and as they worshiped, the Lord sent an earthquake. Praise God. And everybody's stocks were loose, and everybody's door was opened, and the hand of God was displayed in an incredible way. The jailer, knowing that his life was forfeit if any of the prisoners escaped, was about to end his life. But Paul cried out, "Do thyself no harm. We're all here. Praise God." And oh, the devil would love to do harm to those who are addicted. The devil would love to do harm to those who are captured in sin. The devil would love to do harm to those who are struggling with depression. But I'm thankful that the apostle could cry out, "Do thyself no harm." Amen. And the jailer called for a light, and he was about to meet the light of the world. Thank God for the power that God is able to display in situations that seem impossible, in situations that seem like there's no answer. Praise God. But the jailer and his household were also baptized after midnight. That's how important it was. And Paul and Silas instructed them in the word of the Lord. And then they returned to Lydia's house again, and the revival continued on. Thank God for virtuous women. Thank God for those who are able to step out and do a work. The Bible tells us, who can find a virtuous woman? For her price is far above rubies. I'm thankful that the Lord used women like Ruth and Tabitha and Lydia, and I'm thankful he can still use virtuous men and women today, and the hand of God can be displayed. I'm thankful that the whole city can know the hand of the Lord doing a work that would be seemingly impossible, but God specializes in the impossible and is able to do a tremendous work. The disciples and the Lord were in a ship in a storm, and when the storm was stilled, a man from Gadara came racing down to the shore to worship the Lord. He saw that ship in the storm. He probably felt like, that's a picture of my life. That's the way things are going for me. I'm being tossed and turned. I'm being blown about. I can't return to my home. I can't go to my job. Everything is falling apart for me. I'm just like that ship that's about to go down, and then all of a sudden it's calm. And that man from Gadara, even though he was demon-possessed, wanted to know, who has power to do that? Who is able to speak like that and create a calm? And he ran to that place and he worshiped Jesus. And Jesus brought the change. Jesus made the difference. Jesus gave the deliverance. Hallelujah. Thank God for the power that he is able to unleash and deliver him from the demons. And the evidence of that deliverance is there because the man is clothed and he's sitting at the feet of Jesus, and he is in his right mind. Thank God that the hand of the Lord can be displayed almost immediately. Well, definitely immediately. Praise God, and the blessings of the Lord that can come in great measure upon him. But the Lord told him, return to your own house and show how great things God hath done unto thee. And he went his way, and published throughout the whole city how great things Jesus had done unto him. Thank God for the power of the Lord. His family, his friends, everybody became knowledgeable because they saw him as a different individual. They saw him as a new creature in Christ Jesus. They saw him as one who was powerful and a powerful demonstration of the hand of the Lord. What about those pigs that the demons went into and ran off the edge of the cliff and drowned? Were they rejoicing? Were they excited? No, they wanted Jesus to leave. Some people are not willing to pay the price. Some people are not willing to give up so that they can continue on in the work of the Lord and the walk with God. Lord, help us to let go of things that are not going to last. They're going to pass away. To grab a hold of the things that are not going to pass. They are eternal. Praise God. And we'll rejoice in the presence of the Lord forever. Hallelujah. Thank God for the power and the blessings of God. Oh, I'm thankful for the good evidence of God's power that was there in that man from Kedera and how he was able to live on in the blessings of God. Didn't go back to that garbage. Didn't go back to that mess. Didn't say, I miss sitting around in the tombs. Oh, no. He was glad to sit with his family in his house. He was glad to meet with his friends. He was glad to go back to his workplace. He was glad to walk the streets of Gadara and not have people run and hide from him because God brought a change. Hallelujah. Oh, I'm thankful for the goodness of the Lord and the blessing. Amen. We don't have time to go into Samaria and the whole city be filled with joy. Or Paul going to Antioch and the whole city coming together to hear the word of God. I'm thankful that the Lord is able to impact the whole city. Amen. His power is not limited. There's not just a tiny portion that he's going to dole out to different ones and say, this is all you get. That's all I have. That's all I can spare. No, the whole city, praise God, can be impacted because of your testimony, because of your recognition of how great God is and the power of the Lord that's able to do a work. God can use men and women today for his glory. Thank God for virtuous women. Thank God for godly men and who are able to step forward and let the whole city know this is what God can do. The world wants to belittle those who are walking in virtue. Those who feel that's the choice that they would desire to make. And thank God there are those who can stand firm and recognize, I'm going to follow another voice. I'm going to follow another direction and walk on with the Lord. You see, the Bible says to add to your faith. I love that aspect of add because it always assures me that God has more for me. That God desires to impart more, to bless with more, to give more. Add to your faith. Praise God. The Bible tells us that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. I know the principle of Romans 10:17 that can continue to work. Amen. And know that we're inundated with knowledge. We have just a great assortment of things, and now there's a big hubbub about artificial intelligence. Seems like there's been a bunch of that anyway. But now we've got the computerized version of it and a little bit of concern about that. Well, I'm thankful the knowledge of the Word of God is what's going to bless me. The knowledge of the Word of God is what's going to bring me into the realm of power and blessing and of His strength and goodness. Amen. There was a little faith that the Lord commended when Peter was pulled by the hand and walked back to the ship. Oh, you little faith, why are you fearful? And I'm thankful the Lord also recognized great faith when the centurion believed for the healing of his servant. We can go from little faith to great faith and know that the power of God is there as well. And the Lord's blessing would come forth. Peter gave a list in his second letter when he declared, add to your faith. Now, there different cultures at Peter's day would no doubt have these various lists that you've got to prove yourself. You've got to show these aspects and so on. The Greeks, the Romans, the different ones that would say you can achieve this. What Peter was talking about was divine power. He mentions that at the beginning of his letter. He says in verse 4, you can be a partaker of the divine nature because of these exceeding great and precious promises. Thank God for the exceeding great and precious promises that bring about a change in our lives. Add to your faith virtue. No coincidence that he lists virtue as the first characteristic that could be added to your faith. Thank God for the power that is there to bring about a change within us. Amen. It's an excellence, according to the Greek language, not an excellence in terms of education and receiving degrees and so on. This is a month of graduations, and we congratulate those who achieved great steps in education and so on. But it's an excellent set of morality. And that's what's lacking in our society today. And no doubt it was lacking in Peter's day. And that's why the Spirit told him, add to your faith virtue, that moral excellence. And then continue on adding knowledge, self-control, patience, godliness, brotherly kindness, charity. Just keep adding. Praise God. And thank the Lord that there's that power that the Lord provides for us. Not in our ability. Let me emphasize that again. We might be able to check it off and say, yeah, I got that. Yep, I'm doing all right. No, it's got to be by the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God who brings the fruit into your life, praise God, that cannot be produced by your own ability, but the hand of the Lord is there to bless you, to strengthen you, to change you, to lift you up, praise God. I'm thankful for that power. But now notice, as Peter goes on and mentions how if you do these things, you're not going to be barren. You're not going to be unfruitful in the knowledge of God. There's going to be some tremendous things that you're going to realize and you're going to be able to recognize. Make your calling sure, because if you do these things, there's an abundant entrance that you're going to have into the everlasting kingdom. Praise God. It's not going to be just squeaking by. It's not going to be just you barely are able to make it. No, an abundant entrance. Praise God. You're going to be able to enter in to the joy and the blessings of the Lord. Thank God that we can make that choice. Thank God that we can follow through on what the Lord desires to do within us. And there are things that we do without because we choose to be virtuous. There are things that we pass up because we choose to walk with the Lord. There are things that we turn away from because it's not pleasing to God. And thank the Lord we can keep our eyes upon what is going to be eternal and what we will enjoy in the presence of God, because we partake of the divine nature and know the blessings that are there in the Spirit of God, and he adds to our faith. Praise God. Amen. What a good choice. What a way to be able to follow through. Please stand with me. What a difference that God is able to make in our lives as we follow on to know him and his goodness. Amen. And the blessings that are there. It's a choice that we have to make. And then it's a change that he makes in our lives. And the power and the glory and the blessings of God become ever more real. Amen. It's not just a fairy tale, as I said. It's not just a hope. And in the sweet by and by, we're going to meet together in the sky, you know, how whatever poem and mockery that somebody would want to make. But it's something real, something powerful, something great today that we can know. And I put my hand in the nail-scarred hand and walk on with him, knowing that he will provide, he will bless, he will minister, he will not leave me, he will not forsake me. Praise God. I'll continue on with him. Because one of these days, the next step is going to be on streets of gold. Praise God. We'll pass through that gate of pearl. Ah, we'll see the walls of jasper, the crystal sea. Praise God. But most of all, we'll see the one sitting on the throne. Praise God. And worship him for eternity. Oh my. That's the hope I want to hold on to. That's the hope I want to be anchored to. Praise God. And know the blessings of the Lord that are there. So let's go ahead and pursue the virtue that God is calling us to. Let's go ahead and pursue the glory and the honor that He desires to extend to us. Let's receive more and more and more of what He wants to impart. Praise God, because He's never going to stop, and neither will we. We're going to keep going. Praise God. Please come and let's have some prayer here today. We want to just exalt the Lord. I know there's special meals and special gatherings and so on this special day, and that's well and good. But we need to spend just a few minutes in prayer here right now and just let the Lord minister to us. Let the Lord speak to us. Let the Lord do a work that He desires to do. Praise God. And know the goodness of the Lord to help us and to strengthen us. Amen. What a great God we serve. What a great God we can call upon. What a great God that can minister to us right here, right now, in this place. Praise God. Let's reach out to Him together. Hallelujah. Let's call upon His great name. Let's commit ourselves. Make that commitment like you, Ruth was able to make. I'm going, Lord, where you tell me to go. I'm going to be committed to you, Lord. I'm going to follow after you as my God. Nothing's going to cause me to depart. Nothing's going to cause me to turn or to change or to go another way. I'm following after you, Lord. I'm seeking after you. Praise God. In the name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. 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 Oh, Lord, oh, Lord.